Blog Talk Radio.
Myself, not a first. And today should be a good show. We do have a lot to talk about. But before we get started, a bit of housekeeping. If you want to be a part of the chat room, please go to freedomreigns.us and click on the chat link to be a part of the chat room. Currently, nearly 100 people in there at the moment. Usually builds up to 300 or 400, if not more. So if you want to take part in the conversation, go over there. What else have we got? Website updates. We are once again looking for some volunteers. The incredibly creative team that is working on putting together a new version of this website, the opt-in website, are in need of some extra people. So if you could go to the Facebook page, the opt-in Facebook page, or the opt-in.com website, and have a look at the volunteers forums. There is a post on the Facebook page as well in regards to this as to what they're looking for, what skills are needed. I do believe it's all around web design. Excuse me, Chris. Web design and WordPress. So if you have those skills, please go and have a look. That would be lovely. And Holly will be very, very appreciative. That's it, I think. So, Chris, you're obviously there.
I'm here. I'm just clearing my throat, getting ready for a bit of a chat. Good morning to everybody, everywhere, every time, and in for another really interesting conversation today. Looking forward to it,
guys. As usual, you know, we're here and we're winging it. We don't know what's going to happen during these shows. We never do, but we always have fun. So enjoy. We've got Brian.
Hello, hello. Good afternoon. My time.
Giggle.
Don't get me started, Lisa. Too early. Happy to be here, and looking forward to it. This is like a, I'm not that far from Hollywood, and some of the best stand-up shows are all improv, because people fly in by the seat of their pants, and this is exciting times. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to discuss, but I'm just happy to be here, and happy to be experiencing it with you all.
Thank you, and we're glad to have you. And we've got Bob there over in Pennsylvania. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great, Lisa. How's everyone? Welcome to the show. Glad to be here. And I'm experiencing the shift of the ages as gracefully as possible.
I'm muting because there's a train going past.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't usually have trains going past on improv shows.
With me, you never know what you're going to get. We will have Dee joining us at some point after she's put the kids to bed, I believe. We're still trying to get Heather on. She's been somewhat unavailable over the last 24 hours. Her connection's been a bit sketchy. But I do have an update, a personal one, on courtesy notices. Where do I start? I received a parking fine. Actually, it wasn't even me. I wasn't even driving at the time. But anyway, issued by the local council for metered parking in the street without a parking ticket. So I received a fine from them. It escalated to... I don't know how things work in your part of the world, wherever you are, but there's a state, supposedly state government department called the Debt Recovery Office, who enforce and receive all payments for local councils and parking and all that sort of stuff, all fines. So they were enforcing it, and it got to a point where they then issued what they called an examination notice. They wanted to examine my financial situation because I hadn't paid the fine. They assume I can't pay the fine over a $90 fine. So I sent a courtesy notice to the mayor of the local council, the minister who has the State Debt Recovery Office as part of his portfolio, and the CEO of the State Debt Recovery Office. And I tied them all in together, and I put a very short cover letter on it stating that, it's in my instance, I used, in terms of a hierarchy, I used the mayor of the local council as the top of the chain because that's where this originated from, and told him essentially that any further action to pursue this by the State Debt Recovery Office would be considered acceptance of my terms and conditions on his behalf, as well as on whoever was sending me any more notices. They received these courtesy notices on the 19th. I had my mail confirmation. And yesterday, I received a letter in the mail. Oh, sorry, one more step. it had escalated from them pursuing the State Debt Recovery Office, pursuing the debt and wanting to do this examination notice, to also then informing the what we call the RTA, who issues our driver's licenses, to cancel my license. So my license had also been cancelled. Now, yesterday's letter was from the RTA telling me that they'd been notified by the State Debt Recovery Office to reinstate my license. So I'm taking that as a success, because that is that actually was another step I thought I was going to have to take. One thing, telling them to go away and stop hassling me and pursuing me for the money. And the second step I thought would be then to get to have to address the cancellation of my license. But they've gone and done that of their own accord.
The important thing is they didn't ask you for any more money, did they?
No. And I haven't heard from State Debt Recovery. I haven't heard from the Wollongong Council. What I've heard from is the person at the end of the chain of all of that, who I haven't even dealt with, which is the RTA, who cancelled my license because they were instructed to by the State Debt Recovery Office, and have now reinstated my license because they were instructed to by the State Debt Recovery Office. So that's a win, guys.
That's awesome.
Big time. Yeah. Did anybody see that? I think we posted on the blog the other day. It was the gentleman. He, man, this guy went crazy. He sent in like seven courtesy notices all over the map, and then the local news reported on it. And there's a picture of his like his him standing in front of a van, and it like tells his story. Anybody see that article? It's kind
no.
of like floating around on Facebook.
No, I didn't see that at all.
Let me see. Oops, I muted myself. Let me see if I can find it, and I'll share it in the chat so everybody can read it. I have my only experience with the courtesy notice so far is for my auto note through Chase, and January was my last payment. Around February 3rd or 4th, I started getting phone calls, and they were coming in probably every other day. I've talked about this on the show before, but just an update. I have still yet to hear from them trying to collect or any type of notice of any repossession or anything like that. Not one phone call, not a single one, since I sent my courtesy notice in. So I think that if anybody, when we open up the calls to callers, if anybody has a courtesy notice story they want to share, by all means, share it. I know that there's a lot out there because I've seen them floating around, and I know that there's a lot of these courtesy notices out there, and not only in English and here in America, but in many other countries as well.
Yeah, I'd love to hear some stories because it's also scattered bits and pieces here and there. Like you say, someone will put something up on Facebook, somebody will put something in a blog somewhere, and it's impossible to keep track. Bob, what about you? Have you had any courtesy notice experience yet?
Nope, none. I haven't heard anything from anybody other than my utility company, which I mentioned last week, where I got a forgiveness notice. Because I didn't pay my bill.
You didn't pay the whole bill, or just there was a balance?
I didn't pay the whole bill.
Oh, they forgave the whole bill.
They forgave the whole bill.
And you sent them a courtesy notice?
Mm-hmm.
What did they respond?
Really?
The response was, in our customer service appreciation program, you have been forgiven whatever X amount of dollars.
What did you say in your courtesy notice?
Nothing.
Which one did you use?
Just the general one.
The piece of paper one?
Yeah.
So you referenced your bill?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that from what you said last week. I thought they just forgave a small balance that was left over.
No. I didn't pay the whole bill last month.
That's very cool. Okay.
Three for three.
Not going. Okay, and three completely different situations too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just been having a slight exchange on the side here with Captain Daryl, actually. He went through he's been through a court case of late, and he's ex-military, and they actually, the other counsel asked the court for an endorsement that he not be allowed to arrest them, which I think is really interesting.
That Daryl not be allowed to arrest them?
Yeah, well, Daryl's ex-military. And Daryl has a right to act on behalf of the People's Trust under the original filings. So the court were a bit nervous about that. In fact, the judge would not allow him on the elevator with her. Says he had a very silly morning. Hope to get him to expand on that at some point, but they were very nervous about Daryl and what he did in court. He managed to get a number of the filings actually on the court record, and I think the judge was forced to deliberately ignore them, because if they pay any attention to them at all, they know that the outcome in the end, if they do it properly, is not good for them. So the best thing is just to push them all to one side. So, but it's a complicated story, because it's the end of a long, long process for Daryl, and wouldn't mind getting Daryl on at some point so we can actually go over his story in some detail. It's very interesting, and he certainly made both the opposing counsel and the judge extremely nervous as far as his ability to actually enforce is concerned. So that's an aspect that is becoming more prescient, enforcement. And one of the indications we're getting is that there's a lot of people in the military who are watching what's going on extremely closely, extremely closely. So we'll pass as much information through as we can as things develop.
I think Benjamin Fulford's release, I didn't read his most recent article that came out today, he mentioned something along the lines of military activity that's going on behind the scenes right now. I haven't read the article. Let's see if I can share that.
I just shared the lovely citizen story in the chat room too. So if you saw that link, it'll take you to the story that Brian was just talking about. The revolution has begun. Local resident says police enforcement illegal and all debt is cancelled. I haven't read it yet, but it looks good. Okay. Now, we did have a very important document get released, which people in the chat room look like they're aware of. And if you haven't seen it, you can go to either my website, Removing the Shackles, or American Kabuki, and I do believe it's already on the optin.com site as well. And it's called the I Notice. Notice to all embodiments of eternal essence in eternal essence's universe. Okay, I'm going to ask each of you, what was your response to reading this document? Brian, you can go first.
Something told me you were going to pick on me.
What's up, picking on you, darling?
I mean, gosh, the first time I read this, I was out and about yesterday, and I was kind of, it was a Sunday, and Sunday is time to be out with my girlfriend Brittany, and I get harassed pretty frequently from being on my phone, on Skype, and in email all the time, so I was like sneaking away to like read the document while at the beach, actually, and I powered through it, and I didn't really have a chance to really soak it in until today. I printed it out, I went on a hike, and I read it out loud, and I reread the parts that didn't completely sink in the first time that I read it. And, man, there's a lot going on here. I mean, one of the biggest, I think, disclosures for me personally that was made was on the second page when it refers at the end. And gosh, there's a lot. We could probably cover paragraph by paragraph. Paragraph by paragraph is the same. But one of the biggest misconceptions that has been out there since the phrase absolute data was first made on one of these radio shows by, I'm sure it was Heather, was that, you know, this data, this all-encompassing data is going to come from some government, or it's going to come from some group, be it OPPT, be it any group, or it's going to come from some individual. And we learned through this that that's not the case, and a lot of people, I think, already realize that. It's kind of like everybody, you know, there's been in the alternative media, new age crowds talking of disclosure, you know, regarding the disclosure of the existence of our brothers and sisters from the stars. Everybody was looking for that to come from some government, because if it came from some website, it's not big enough to reach the masses through mainstream media channels. And this is kind of similar in the sense that where can you possibly trust receiving absolute data from? No one trusts the government to believe them coming out with some major disclosures. No one trusts that it's going to be fully transparent and that it's going to be based on truth and not lies. You know, even the people that are quote-unquote still sleeping don't believe a lot of what the government has to say. They've betrayed our trust, and it's kind of one of those things where, you know, people are very skeptical when they receive information by nature because they don't know what to believe. So absolute data, you know, we've talked about absolute data and we've talked about the main event for weeks now. And what we realize here on the second document is absolute data and the main event are one and the same. And absolute data, we've had conversations with Heather offline, off radio shows. I mean, if you really think about the depth to what absolute data is, I mean, we're talking about the answers to everything, all of existence, people knowing that. So that's it's an energetic event that comes from within. And we talk about this, you know, the document from December 10th talking about the end of duality. Well, duality was a creation. It was an experiment, and the experiment is coming to a close, and it was part of our destiny for humanity to know everything. And that's what absolute data is it's knowing everything. And so for me, it's like there's so much to that. You can't even really wrap your mind around it until I believe that it happens, whatever it might be. And everybody knows, everybody can sense, I believe. Not everybody knows, but I think everybody can sense that we're coming up to kind of a tipping point, a precipice, where something big is about to unfold. And it's this main event, it's this absolute data that really changes everything. It creates a new landscape for everything that we've been talking about since December 25th or December 26th when all of this came out. And I think that main event absolute data component is in that entails all of the answers to so many of the questions that we receive week on end in regarding to the treasury, regarding to people's access to value, regarding, so many questions that have come up, so many very valid questions. And what I really want people to understand in this is that we share a lot of the same questions that everybody has been asking. You know, this has never been done before, and we're all pioneers in the sense that we're all going through this and experiencing this together. So having these discussions is great because it gives everybody an opportunity to ask questions so we can work together to try to find the answers. But I think that with this kind of magnitude of an event, we can work to try to find answers, but even the answers that we find before it occurs are going to be very limited to how it actually unfolds. And that we cannot – there's no way from our existing state of consciousness that we'll be able to try to imagine what that will be like until it actually happens, from my vantage point anyway. So that was the big takeaway for me. But there's obviously a lot more in this than just that. But I'll pass it to somebody else and Chris or Bob.
For me, when I look at this document, I see this almost as a stepping stone or another step, another level. Because as I'm reading the document and it's explaining about how the OPPT was created and how it made a space for that everyone could know and that they are and that they can be eternal essence. You know, you think back to when you first heard about the OPPT and you first heard about the possibilities. Hey, maybe it's here. Maybe it's all over. And my heart almost jumped out of my chest at the prospect of the possibility of just being free, just being done with all of this, you know? I mean, how did you feel when you heard that? You immediately thought, oh my God, it's wow. And then this thought comes in your head, it's too good to be true. And when you think about that idea, that thought, it's too good to be true, which is basically saying my reality does not include that possibility. My reality doesn't, and it's a statement of limitation. And what it brought to me was the OPPT was a platform or a tool to remove that limitation so that people can know their true power, know their true essence, and know their true being. I mean, if you followed along with all of the different filings and all the different shows and all the different interviews and things that have been going on over the last 3 months, it was an awakening and an absolute empowering, as the document says, where people started to look at the powers that be. Now, understand, everyone, we're already way bigger than the governments of the world. We are already way more powerful. We always were, but we didn't believe it. So now that we've moved into that space where now we know our real power, we know where the government stands, because I look at the government, it's a corporation. I mean, what was I afraid of in the beginning with? You know what? Really? You know, yes, they've got guns, they've got weapons and everything, but that does not change the fact of their legal standing and their authority to impose anything. And now when we're moving to that space, now this seems to me that now we can actually do something with it. We've done the being, and now we're moving into the doing. And this seems, you know, when I read the document, as I was going through it, it felt as though that the current of the system had completely reversed direction, that this document is completely reversing the direction of the current current system and moving us into someplace new. And I feel, you know, like we're kind of graduating into a new place and into a new space of being and doing.
Mm-hmm. I agree with a lot of what both of you have already said. Chris?
Yep, well, everyone's experienced the process that the OPPT, or that has actually taken us all through. The December 25th filings, when they were released, were quite stunning in the scope of what they were doing. The things we learned about it in the weeks after that, leading up to the release of the December 10 filing, which was a purely spiritual document expressed in legal terms that terminated the contract that we'd been operating under as embodied essence for thousands of years. Then leading up to the filing that was released last week, which absolutely ended all hierarchy on this planet completely and simply leave us here on the planet ourselves. And one of the most fascinating things to me is to watch the language that's been used by the trustees evolve, former trustees now, actually evolve over that period of time from something that was essentially system UCC system legalese to a point that's expressing the current situation in absolute energetic terms and remarkably doing it, still doing it in the legal context of being in a UCC filing. And if you look at the filing that was released last week, it actually expresses our existence in terms of absolute, in terms of what we are in, as eternal essence.
I also
eternal
get
essence
this,
embodied.
Chris,
now,
and tell
yeah,
me
go
if,
ahead.
This is, if this is true with you. I also get the feeling that this notice is more powerful to the powers that were. It's a direct message to the powers that were, telling them, okay, now look, this is how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, the overall process that I see that has happened. Originally, I thought, she being Heather, returning us to original jurisdiction. You know, we will be free. And I thought, wow, you know, this is exactly what everyone in the sovereignty movement is working towards. Anyone who's even got any idea of how caged in we are, that's what we're for. But this last couple of steps they've taken have taken us to a point that I hadn't even considered that we would get to a state where we're actually aware of our actual, the actuality of what we really are and how we can really interact. This is brand new territory for us, folks. Absolutely brand new territory.
I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead. I thought you were wrapping up there.
I do want to press on for just a moment. What it's doing is expressing our existence in energetic terms. Now, everyone's heard the term, everything is energy, everything is energy. Actually, everything is energy. The universe is a singular energetic event. Okay? And if you want to take it from a strictly physics standpoint, it's all happening in one point in space and one point in time. Yet we as biological entities experience it as linear time, and our view of the universe is that it's millions of years old. Yet it is a singular energetic event, quite a hard concept to get your head around. But these documents actually express our entire existence now in energetic terms. And not only the remarkable thing about the eye document is it's actually beginning to educate us as to how we're actually going to interact with one another at an energetic level. You know, it talks about being and doing and in fact generating value by doing. If you want to analyze what the powers that be have been doing to us, speaking of being and doing, they've actually been getting us, they've been tricking us into doing and then harvesting our energy for them, for their beings and not ours. So what we've been returned to is a state where everything we be and everything we do will be returned to us. And the eye tool is a means by which we can, the way that I'm interpreting it, is going to be a means by which we can actually exchange value at an energetic level in the end. Now, I think there's several steps for us to get there. That's the other thing, other message I'm getting from this. But I find the whole document absolutely fascinating. I think the language is fascinating. And as Brian said, you actually have to read this thing through, as usual, a number of times to really start to get it.
And preferably
out loud. And Bob, did you want to jump in and...
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, just one of the things that, you know, I really caught my eye in describing how this new paradigm is going to be. One of the paragraphs in there, it says that each embodiment is, and wait, well, let me find it. Yeah, each embodiment of eternal essence is an account, a bank, a treasury, and they are self-governing. Absent all borders, jurisdictions, hierarchies, and all of that. And it's describing basically each individual as their own self-governed country, to, for lack of a better term, or all, you know, complete entity, you know, with all the tools of being and doing that are available. And I think that is a very, very different way to view the world. You know, there are no borders. Each person is their own self-governing entity.
Indeed. In fact, one of the things that last document did specifically, and it's actually, I can actually read out the phrase, it's actually paragraph 2. that all that is has been fully audited and reconciled into absolute eternal essence, inclusive of trust systems, networks, regimes, and hierarchies. That's the phrase that actually, if you like, ends the OPPT as an entity, because that is in fact a man-made hierarchy. But then it says the following: and any and all other limits unrebutted. Now, if you've listened to any of Bashar's material, one of the things he repeats frequently is that we have become the masters of limitations. And what this process we've been going through has done for us, whether we're ready to accept it or not, okay, and some people listening to this show are right across this and others not so sure, is to remove all limitations. If we want to move forward, we have to remove all limitations.
And Chris, I think that is a big piece of what this energetic event is. It's consciously removing all the self-imposed and imposed by others limitations that we've adopted that since birth through the systems that we've been operating in and being held slaves to, whether conscious or unconscious of the slavery systems. One way that Heather, I recall, she described it, she said it's like anybody that's ever had a near-death experience, a lot of them claim to have had this kind of life review where their life flashes before their eyes and they see and understand everything that they did in their lives and how it affected them and how it affected others as well. And this event can be kind of a part of it, I think. Trying to use words to explain it, I realize, is very limiting, but it will allow everybody to understand their beingness and who they are from a much higher and a much more expanded state of awareness and expanded state of consciousness, so that we will really be able to see everything that we've done in our lives, why we designed it that way, and why we made the choices that we made, and what lessons that we had that came from those choices, and all understanding and all knowing of that awareness of self. And so
get too deep into this, maybe now is a good time for those who may not be familiar with the document, maybe we can just read through it. It's only 2 pages.
Yeah, before we do, I just wanted to say something that Brian brought up for me just then. You know, when we talk about this energetic event, the perspective that I've had, and I think a lot of other people have had, is that this is triggered by an external force. You know, whether it's, you know, a huge CME from the sun, or it's we're moving into the photon belt, or, you know, something outside is going to wash over the planet and wash through us and trigger things within us. Is that the general?
That's what I used to think.
I was just listening to Brian just then.
I'm hiding here in the background.
What if the energetic event is completely internal in terms of something that comes to us, it comes from us and spreads out through creation? Because if what people's trust initially did was create this space, and when you look back at the last 3 months, that's all it did initially. It created this space, and it was everybody else doing being that has taken it where it is. You know, the curtain notices weren't created by the trustees or anything to do with that. They were created by a father and son in Western Australia. And we've got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people using them now. We've got people taking action. We've got people being and doing in a way and thinking and feeling in a way that perhaps they hadn't before. And that's pretty much all the trust did, was create that space for us to step into it. And it worded things, it verbalized things, it articulated things that we already knew within us. And that's why we responded the way we did. And we responded and we reacted and we started doing. And what if we just happened to reach that 100th monkey number. Triggers
in all they're doing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In all they're doing. Just, that has to trigger it in one of us, really, before the domino effect.
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right, Lisa. Because one of the interesting things that's come up from there's a few people around us who can view you know life on this planet in terms of energetics, and you know we call them the energy guys. And the message we're getting from them is that the OPPT's process, the actual process that has drawn this large number of people through, has created, first of all, the energetic space you referred to, and then filled it with that incredibly pure kind of energy. The entirety of that energy came from us. It didn't come from outside. It came from us. Now, we're drawing it. We draw the energy from absolute in this process. We're reconnecting to absolute. And to me, the energetic event is going to be triggered by us, and it will happen through us. This is nothing external at all. This is all coming from us.
You know what, Chris? I just got the thought that, you know, everybody keeps asking the question. Did I lose something?
No, we got you.
Oh, okay. Everybody keeps asking the question, okay, well, when is this going to happen? And everybody's, I've sent out courtesy notice, and I'm doing this, and that, and everybody's doing, and eventually we're going to be there, and we're going to go, okay, we're already there. And people are going to look, oh, how did we get here already? Because I don't think people are paying attention to what has actually really happened. You know, now, judges and powers that be, government officials and corporate heads, may choose to, quote-unquote, ignore these notices. But tell me, who's ignoring the OPPT? Who's ignoring us? The world isn't. Obviously not. And it's getting to the point where now they're looking ridiculous because everybody can see the elephant in the room. You know, everybody can see the elephant room. You know, the emperor has no clothes. It's obvious. And now they can't ignore. Ignore
just that little exchange that Daryl posted in my chat here that I read a small part out of before. You know, he's having an interaction with the system, and what struck me about the small amount that he put there was that from our perspective now, looking in at the system. Doesn't matter whether we're looking at a judge or whether we're looking at a barrister working for a bank or an official from a bank. They all look the same. They're all part of the same thing. They are completely one thing. And we don't need them anymore. And they know it. And some of us know it. And a big part of this energetic event is when enough of us know that, you know, that's when it'll really start to cascade.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've hit that. I think we've hit that, Chris.
Well, Heather, we talked about
it's happening right now. It's happening right now, Bob.
We haven't heard from Dee yet, though.
Well, Dee's blog is called Removing the Shackles, which is what we're actually talking about here. So go for it, Dee. This is all self-imposed. We've done this to ourselves.
I have a couple of different things I wanted, because I've been kind of sitting here, you know, waiting my little turn. A couple of things that I want to talk about. Bob mentioned something that was really interesting several minutes ago when he said, you know, talking about, you know, the powers that were shaken in their boots. And there's several parts of this document that obviously would rattle them. Obviously, you know, the removing of limits without, you know, with not dealing with borders, dimensions, etc., right? That is a big one. But the one that I think a lot of people may not catch on to is right down in the very last paragraph, okay? And the last paragraph, and it says, abundance is manifested at the speed of the expansion of your imagination and doing what we imagine. Eternal essence embodied gives notice that replacements of past harvesting tools begin to be implemented starting next week. Okay, so here we got this group of powers that were, pardon me, were already shaken in their boots. They've been watching this play out for the last 3 months publicly, and it's kind of like a train wreck in their eyes that they can't look away because they have no idea what they're going to do. So you start taking away all things, for example, the gold being taken away, and you take away, you know, you point the fingers and you foreclose on the governments and the banks, et cetera, et cetera. And they try and ignore it, they try and ignore it, they try and ignore it. One of the last key things that they kind of still have are these harvesting tools. Right?
Split those.
You're breaking up.
And I was D. So, who's breaking up? Me?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, you are, Lisa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is something that's really basically the last paragraph of this is taking away their very last little toy that they can play with. Take away the past harvesting tools. Now, I know that Caleb is actually working on this right now, working on, I believe it is a new social media setup, a lot more to it than that. That is a very, very minor aspect of it. I know he's working on something big, and I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet about it. So if you can imagine, think of it this way. Everyone remembers the movie Monsters, Inc. And in the movie, the monsters all hide under the bed and they scare the kids. And when the kids scream, they harvest that energy to power their world. But by the end of the movie, they all of a sudden realize that the children's laughter is actually way more powerful than their screams. That positive energy is 100 times more powerful than the negative.
Hold on, this is where I giggle.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Go ahead.
So if you take their last harvesting tools of pulling in all that negative energy, right? They're feeding it, got to suck it in. You create a brand new replacement of all that crap that they've been using to harvest, and you fill it with incredible positive energy of all of us, all the doing and being beings on this planet. But what are they going to do? Like, it's just going to blow the lid off, right? Positive energy is so much more powerful than the negative that they feed off of. You're going to create this incredible space of positive. Well, right there, they're quaking in their boots. Seriously.
Yep.
It's Monsters, Inc. all over again.
And the thing is,
well, you talk about cutting off their food supply. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when you stand back and look at the situation, it's actually really simple, and it makes you feel kind of silly. And I just want to read out something that Daryl just posted to me, because Daryl's very aware of the energetic side of this. And everyone who uses a courtesy notice or who has an interaction, he calls them, the courtesy notice, he calls them an IED, an improvised educational device, which I think is really kind of cute. But here's what he said. He says, Chris, the whole purpose of walking into the lion's den was to get the information on the record, both the court record and the Akashic record. It was a huge energy exchange. I knew that before I went in. And, you know, Daryl really knows how important that energetic exchange is. And I want people to really get that everything that they're doing, even listening to this show, is building the energy that will lead to this event. Now, that last paragraph that Dee's referring to is an absolute ripper. And I was hoping we will not run ourselves out of time to read through the document, because there's a whole lot of stuff about that last paragraph that we're only just starting to get into.
Oh yeah.
And you know, if we're going to read through it, Bob, I think we need to get cracking.
We also have a lot of people with their hand up wanting to ask questions or make comments. So.
Well, you're the boss, Lisa.
Just.
Why don't,
why don't it only take,
it
only takes about 6 or 7 minutes to read through this thing. We could just read through it and then open it up for callers. I think everybody could get a lot of good just from hearing it out loud. But that's just my opinion. Take it away.
I agree.
Look, yeah, now let's do that. Let's do that. We can actually discuss the last paragraph when we get to it.
All right. Well, I'll read it out if you like. Okay. Notice, to all embodiments of eternal essence in eternal essence's universe. Empower, impossible, in absolute truth. I am power. I am possible. In gratitude, love, and peace, we introduce where OPT is the conscious space to know. Oh, okay,
yeah.
Then somebody else read it.
Where OPPT was the conscious space to know all that is be eternal essence, I is the conscious space to empower experiencing eternal essence embodied for all to know and rely upon. I is duly declared and verified as lawfully created, insured, and guaranteed within and transparently operating under record and law of absolute truth of eternal essence. Record number 201-303-2035, signified by I with a circle, for eternal essence, so that all may know and rely upon the guarantee that I is operated by and with the full responsibility and liability of eternal essence embodied for the absolute service to any and all embodiments of eternal essence within eternal essence's universe. Embodiments of eternal essence do consciously and visibly be shining absolute light on the absolute truth of the experience of being eternal essence. Free will doing of embodiments of eternal essence for the absolute service of embodiments of eternal essence in all of eternal essence's universe, absent borders, dimensions, expectations, subscriptions, judgment, prejudice, and limits is now visible. I consciously pays forced energy to unite and integrate the doing and being of the embodiments of eternal essence within eternal essence's universe, absent judgment made of any role an embodiment of eternal essence played in the former systems of experiment in any illusion of existence. In absolute truth, not one embodiment of eternal essence is more important or less than another. I is a tool of reflection to empower embodiments to assist self in knowing and experiencing who they be, eternal essence. Eternal essence is I am power. I am possible. Embodiments of eternal essence have no limits except those they impose on their embodiment or consent to have imposed on embodiment. In absolute truth, eternal essence's universe has no separations, no prejudice, no dimensions, no limits, no ceremony, no ritual, no protocols to be eternal essence. I is a committed tangible space of now, consciously and transparently paying focused energy to experiencing eternal essence embodied by uniting, integrating, reconciling, and graduating all tools existing now with absolute tools within eternal essence's universe to manifest self-sustaining, exponential, and perpetual uninterrupted flow and distribution of unlimited abundance and absolute data for all embodiments of eternal essence to have, do, and be what they desire when they desire it. I empower the impossible now. The absolute gratitude eternal essence embodied reconciles the former systems and hierarchies and all former illusions of dimensions that were designed to unpower the embodiments of eternal essence and to harvest, store, selectively distribute the abundance of eternal essence to very few embodiments at the damage of all others. Now is the present moment to empower the impossible in absolute truth, to experience eternal essence embodied in the highest good of all embodied eternal essence. In absolute gratitude, love, and peace of all embodiments of eternal essence, duly verified as reconfirmed, Heather Ann Tucci Giraffe, Caleb Paul Skinner, and Hollis Randall Hillner, eternal essence embodied and doing.
Okay.
Does anybody else want to pick up?
Yeah, I can jump in if you want. Okay, page two. Universal Value Exchange. Universal Value Exchange, IUV, Exchange, is a transparent eternal essence tool that recognizes and honors the value that is eternal essence embodied, where all embodiments of eternal essence are equally the principal, agent, and beneficiary of the UV exchange tool that is designed to experience eternal essence by embodiment and the value of eternal essence exchanged by doing between eternal essence embodiments. Each embodiment of eternal essence is an account, a bank, a treasury, and they are self-governing. Adventures and exchanges of eternal essence value between embodiments are made by the embodiment doing. Any and all manner and method of doing with full responsibility and liability by the embodiments of eternal essence within eternal essence's universe are accepted in the UV exchange tool, absent borders, dimensions, expectations, subscriptions, judgment, prejudice, and limits. Any limit on the manner, method, or amount of exchange of eternal essence value is by the free will choice of an embodied eternal essence, and that embodiment's free will choice to restrict its experience of abundance is automatically noticed, ledgered, and manifested when such a choice is made at the speed of doing. Eternal essence embodied in all of eternal essence's universe has knowledge that has and does manifest tools to experience eternal essence. Absolute knowledge is the currency of eternal essence value, and doing is the experience and exchange of that value. Therefore, the UV exchange exponentially and perpetually grows, flows, and ascends with doing of the embodiments of eternal essence. As the embodiments of eternal essence expand in absolute knowledge, tools that become restrictive or irrelevant are organically retired or replaced by the free will choice to advance them, enhance them, or to not engage them. Abundance is manifested at the speed of the expansion of our imagination and doing what we imagine. Eternal essence embodied gives notice that replacements of past harvesting tools begin to be implemented starting next week. To begin the flow of abundance, eternal essence embodied does use knowledge within to create this lawful conscious space and tool of UV exchange within eternal essence for all embodiments to experience the eternal essence that they be by their conscious free will doing. Eternal essence embodied does guard and protect this space and tool until the event occurs, absolute knowledge known within each embodiment in eternal essence's universe. I now gives notice of the event to be experienced by all embodiments of eternal essence, absent borders, dimensions, expectations, subscriptions, judgment, ritual, protocols, prejudice, and limits. In absolute love, gratitude, and peace, so it is done.
There's a lot in there.
There's a lot in there.
Got the chills. Really.
Okay, Lisa, we're coming up to the hour. Do you want to take a song break, and we will begin the discussion and take some calls perhaps after the break?
No, we'll just take some calls. If you need to run off, by all means, I do. There's no time for song breaks on this show. There's too many people lining up.
You're the boss.
Thank you. But if you need to run away for a minute, by all means, you can. I'm going to open up the first caller. It's area code 757. Area code 757. No? Okay. Mute you again. We have area code 731.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello.
I'm good, darling. What's your name?
I'm Joshua.
Hey, Joshua.
I actually sent this courtesy notes to Chase, and they said it has no merit, but that's not my point I want you to address. So I've been discussing with my fiance about this abundance, access abundance, and the Zeitgeist movies talked a lot about that. But she seems to think it's that empowering self is somehow dethroning God or the Creator.
Say that again, you cut out a bit. She seems to think what?
Empowering self. How is it? That's, she seems to think it's dethroning the Creator.
Well, I can only get personal opinion on that.
In a sense, it is. It's dethroning the Creator as making ourselves. You know, I would tell. Is your wife? Is she? She's a Christian.
She's, yes.
Okay.
We're both Christians.
Okay.
I'm just liberal.
I want you to look up Psalms 82:6 in your Bible.
For I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High.
There you go.
Wow.
I myself have said, ye are gods.
Yes.
And Jesus quoted it again in John.
When they were, yeah. Okay, so what do I do about this?
So what it's doing is it's removing the hierarchy. It's moving the idea that God is so far above our aspirations,
mm-hmm.
because we are that. You know, it's like, you know, if you have a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that child is separate to you, but is it not human?
Right. Okay. It's simple to me, man.
He's human. So, you know, if God has a child, guess what?
He's
God.
All God.
and it's not trying to belittle her beliefs or anything, and I don't mean to laugh in that way, but it is that simple. We are all that eternal essence is.
Mm.
Yes.
There's a very interesting book called The Key by Whitley Strieber, and it's a conversation he had late one night with a stranger that turned up at his door, and it was a very, very amazing exchange. If you ever get a chance, it's not that big a book, but it's a very interesting read. And he Whitley ended up asking this stranger, you know, why is God doing this? And the guy said, God wants company. Okay? God wants us to experience what he does, is what I got from that. So, but what Bob says about hierarchy is true, and what the whole OPPT process has been trying to do in my mind is completely remove that hierarchy back to absolute so that we can experience our direct connection with the Creator again. There's no hierarchy in there. There is simply experience. And I think it's just that the system has, particularly a lot of religious approaches, have actually always got us thinking in terms of hierarchy. And that's one of the limits that we've been given permission to drop. So I hope that helps.
Very well. I got one quick question. What do I do about this, Chase? They responded to my courtesy notice. They said, we'll write and let you know we received and processed your request. Cease communication. Okay, but then they said they're just going to turn it over to a credit agency after a while.
Well, what you can do, I would send them an invoice.
Another
one that
has no merit. The lawyers told me it's without merit.
Now, they're saying that because they don't want to properly address it because they actually know it does. And they're just trying to deflect you. Okay, so there, the energetic exchange has begun. The next thing for you to do is to send back a response, send them an invoice, put in a little covering note saying that they need to seek professional legal advice on the UCC filings if they are unsure of what they're looking at, and thank them for their business. And if they pass you on to a credit agency, do exactly the same thing with them. When they send you if the credit agency starts to send you letters and make phone calls, for every time they interact with you energetically, you send them back your request for their energy, which is the invoice.
Yeah, I noticed on some of those terms on the courtesy notice, every time they try to take me to court or interact with me,
every time
they owe me.
That's it. And in fact, that is the kind of system that we're heading into down the track. This is what the I system is actually going to be like. It's energetic exchange, and they will tell you not to interact with them. They will say, you know, stop sending us letters. But you know, what does that tell you? You need to keep sending them, because it's the no that we're giving them by sending them these letters. We're saying no, but these invoices, we're saying no. You're doing the wrong thing. We won't interact with you in that fashion. If you want to, you'll have to exchange, you know, another form of energy, which in this case is silver, some currency, if you want to keep interacting with me on that. And they will bluster, and you just keep hammering away at them, Joshua.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Well, I got to have a long conversation. I got to do schoolwork. Man, what about college loans? Is this affecting that?
Yep, you could do the same thing with the people when they send you a demand. If they're sending you a piece of paper, send back a courtesy notice and just do the same thing to them. You know, we're essentially, each time a courtesy notice goes out, the energy guide described courtesy notices as like if you're in a Wild West town and you hear some, this is from the point of view of the bankers. You know, they hear a bit of shooting out in the street, they walk out their door, and all of a sudden, they're dodging shotgun pellets. Well, you see, that's what the courtesy notices are doing to them energetically. Right? Okay. They don't like it. That's why they write back saying, oh, this has no merit, because they don't like it. At the very highest levels in the banking system, they know exactly what's going on with this courtesy notice. In fact, the very last paragraph in this notice that we just read out will have them sweating.
I'll print that and fax it to them.
Why not?
Hey, just one quick question. This phone call, I've been on an hour and a half. It's to the U.S. because I'm worried about the phone bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
no,
it is through the U.S.
Yeah.
I bet. All right, well, God bless them.
You too.
Thank you, Joshua.
Hey, Lisa, I just got a Skype message from Agent X. I think it's in regards to courtesy notices. I'll just read it real quick. He said, Brian, I've done several courtesy notices, two verbally on the phone, which worked for medical bills. One for my auto loan with Springfield Financial. Have not heard from them in over a month. One with credit card debt, $12,000 dismissed, and three for medical payments for a hospital stay. Have never heard another word from any of them after the courtesy notice filed.
Mm.
Wow.
Well, there's your shotgun effect, folks, right there. Let them have
that's,
it.
And understand.
That's great.
If one person acknowledges it as true, there's got to be some truth in it. You know, they can say, you know, and ignore and say it has no effect, but they'll never tell you why. They'll never give you any legal reason why they think it has no effect, although you've given them all the legal, you know, documentation necessary that says it is. So they're basically just lying, the same way that they've been lying to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it is real. I mean, it's been proven over and over again. You know, just ask them, are you a corporation or not? Is the government a corporation or not? And if it's a corporation, tell me why it's not governed by the... Why is it, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Exempt from UCC law?
Exempt from UCC law.
Well, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's the very highest level of corporate law.
Thanks,
and the other thing too is that the only legal response they can make to negate the documents you're sending to them is to rebut the filings, which they cannot
they
do.
Yeah.
So they bluster.
All right, we'll give 773 another shout out and see if they're there. 773.
Hey, thanks again. This is Carlos from Los Angeles.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, Carlos.
I have good. Two questions. One question is for Heather, but I guess she's not. I'm going to see if any of you guys know. The question is that I think on the last document that came out, the AI document, I think is dated on Saturday or earlier. And my question is next week starting this week, or is till like next Monday?
No, I believe it's this week. This week, yes.
Starting
well, we know that, as Dee sort of alluded to before, in that document it says the current harvesting tools are in the process of being replaced. Now, what are those harvesting tools? Facebook and Skype are actually two of the biggest harvesting tools, but we've also got religion and we've got the current financial system and there are several others. So we know that Caleb is putting, this week he's putting his alternative to Facebook, for example, out there in beta testing. That's one of the things that's coming out. But this is, again, all of these harvesting tools will be slowly but surely replaced. Or in fact, I can't even say slowly but surely because I have no idea on the time frame. It could happen very, very quickly. But this is what we're looking at. And yes, I do believe it all starts to kick in this week.
Good, great. And the other question is, does anybody know if Heather actually talked to the White Dragons and what it was all about?
No, she hasn't. Now, I want to like verify this a little bit or clarify this, I guess I should say. Daryl had received information from a group, which, of course, he'd forwarded to Heather, and they've gone back and forth on it. This group is claiming to be part of the White Dragon group, and that is why Heather put out that invitation for them to contact her. And it's actually kind of humorous because she didn't necessarily mean for it to go public, and it went public. And I was talking to her this morning, and she was howling, laughing, and saying in the last 16 hours she's had like 45 new contact requests on Skype. Her phone, she's getting texts come in, phone calls coming in, and quite a few people saying we'd like to talk and meet. And so I don't know where it's going from there. We'll wait and see how it plays out.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Carlos. Okay, area code 646. Yes, Brian.
I was going to share a story that AK texted earlier. He said that he sent the I document to Cobra, emailed it to him last night, and said, you might want to share this with your Palladian contacts. And all he responded back was, they know. Yeah, I thought so. So I figured I'd just throw that in there right now. But
Okay, area code 646 if you're out there.
Hey there, it's Rick from Connecticut. How are you?
Hey, good, Rick.
Hello, Rick. Hi, Rick.
First of all, thanks, Lisa, for your little blurb about your parking ticket, because I had one of those for a while now, and I've just been sitting on it because I kind of thought it was small potatoes and wondering if I have to even worry about it, but I see the logic in responding to it, so thank you for that. And second of all, then, this has been, every week it seems to be increasing, kind of what I call connecting the dots so I can color outside the lines type of thing. And it's just all of this information is coalescing into my brain. I'm having trouble sleeping in some cases. And I sense things so much more intensely now. So this is really cool what's going on. A couple of things that let me just put them out there real quick. The things that occurred to me this week were I started watching this History Channel series called Mankind. I realized History Channel is owned by A&E, which is owned by Disney and Hearst. So there's a lot of information that can come into those types of programs. But again, I saw how this very broad stroke of trying to explain human civilization really it showed up in these wonderful cycles. And what I recognized is that all the major shifts have been preceded by movement. and whether it was the movement of striking a rock on flint to start a fire, or learning how to, you know, harvest our food, and the trade routes, the movable type, you know, shipbuilding, machines, digital information, all of that stuff, just it was always preceding a great leap forward. And I'm very excited about what's coming up for us as a result of this leap that we're now making as a result of the information age making all of this possible, because we're all using the internet and we're all using social networks, and even the medium we're on now is possible because of the internet. Other thing, speaking of digital, is the Bitcoin surge. A couple of years ago, you know, so I'm an artist. I moved to New York to try to get into the theater business and everything, and I'm still writing plays and everything and music. But, you know, it's kind of hard to live in New York. So a friend of mine said, oh, she'd get into Bitcoin. So I bought like 160 Bitcoins. They were like 10 cents or something like that. Well, they're now selling for like $75 a piece. So now I forgot all about them. And now I discovered that they've just majorly surged just over the last few days, wondering if that has something to do with like what happened in Cyprus. Because then I listened to Cliff High. Do you know who Cliff High is?
Yes, we're all familiar with.
If you'd like, there's a YouTube video of his latest Woojo where he discusses Bitcoin and the connections between the banking system almost imminently going down, which I thought was really fascinating, and was kind of wondering if Bitcoin or something like it, maybe one of the former trustees might be able to chime in on this one, but something like Bitcoin could be incorporated as the UV that we've been talking about in this new iDocument, this new iSystem. And the other thing is, I've been thinking of once we're on the other side of this, because a lot of people are going, well, like, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to buy? Da 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 da. Show me the money type of stuff. And I'm just thinking that on the other side of all this, once technologies are opened up and once secrets are unveiled and everything, that and I think Brian was talking about this earlier, that we're going to have a life review right here in 3D, that we're going to see how distracted and in a muddle we were beforehand in our kind of enslaved paradigm. And then when we get on the other side of that, we're going to be looking at the accountability of why we didn't even then, even in our limited capacity, do more than we did, and the excuses that we used to say why we couldn't do more. So I'm really stoked about that as well, because I think that's part of the transparency that Heather's talking about. Sorry, I'm rambling on, but I just got one more point. And that is, this is just the funny part. Listening to this recitation of the iSystem, I can't help but like picture two camps, and one is a bunch of humans scratching their head and going, what? And then the other camp is the celestial brothers and sisters smiling and nodding their heads approvingly and going, well done. So I have a feeling we're definitely on the right track. This feels so, so close to the heart. And every time I listen to this program and I get to speak with you when you're taking the calls, I just feel my heart just bursting with a sense of connectivity and belonging and love for you people. And I don't know any of you, even though I have invited you over for dinner, and I'm still working on it.
And we're still holding you to that too, by the way, Rick. Look,
okay,
we feel it too. It's one of the main reasons we do this show each week.
Yeah, we'll be teleporting in at some point, Rick. So.
That's right. We won't have to worry about, you know, getting here by, you know, 13-hour jet rides or something.
Yeah, enough of that.
But we'll try to give you 5 minutes notice.
Yeah.
Look, I'd just like to say it's really great that you're actually sort of engaging the process along each step of the way, because this is really complicated stuff, and it takes a lot for people to shift their thinking. And when you look at the huge distance we've come since December 25th, it's actually amazing, quite amazing. And something you alluded to earlier, that the energetics work by first creating a space. the OPPT created space through these radio shows and then essentially filled it with energy. And the iExchange document is doing the same thing. And you know, we're coming to understand that. And it's, you know, it's great to have you along for the ride, Rick.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me all these many weeks. I live alone in my first rural experience now, 2 hours north of New York. And so I don't really get to talk to a lot of people, but this is what I call my Thoreau phase. So that's probably why I'm such a chatty Cathy when I get on with you folks. But I really appreciate what you're doing. There's so much integrity and so much authenticity every single week I listen to you. It's so amazing. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rick. Enjoy having you every week.
Yeah, means a lot,
thanks,
man.
Rick.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Rick.
Okay, we'll move to area code 281. Code 281. Hello. Yes. We can hear you. We could hear you. 281. Okay, we will move on. Oh, no, there she is. Hang on.
I just want to say thank you all very much for everything. That's all. Thank you. Rose.
Oh, Rose. Hello. Well, you're welcome, and thank you. Thank you for – I know you're there each week as well.
Yes.
Listening and participating. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all of you.
Thank you.
Okay, area code 618.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
My name is Deborah, and I'm from Illinois.
Hello. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you doing?
I'm very good.
I want to say thanks to everyone, too, and I did get it the first time I heard it a month ago. But I guess what I'm asking is, with the notices, isn't eventually we're not going to need to do that at all?
That enough of them get educated that the system just starts to, you know, self-destruct.
Mm. Well, you know, I understand that part, but what I'm not understanding is, it one day soon that someone's just going to push a button and all this is going to change?
Well, at least
esoteric understanding, the Christianity understanding, and I do understand that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places. I got that part too. But for those who don't follow and don't search and research and collectively understand what this is really about, in a layman's term, is there some big action or a big button that's going to get pushed?
Yes.
Hmm. In fact, it's actually specifically the space for it is created at the end of the document we're just reading, Deborah.
Yeah, you know,
so.
I was going back and forth, and I apologize for me not being able to multitask, but I was trying to get in on the chat room because this is my first time actually physically connecting with anyone via the radio. I've just been reading a lot and just been following PPT and American Makubi and, well, American anyway. and I've always, you know, followed 2012. Scenario, which is a Gaia now. Golden, you know, I understand that part. I guess for those who are still kind of asleep and still waking up, I believe most people want to know when is the button going to get pushed. And you said that's the event. So I wasn't able to get to that last page because I'm trying to understand and listen to everything that's, you know, trying to be said. And I apologize for that. But can you repeat it?
Okay, look, I'll just read out, this is the very last sentence.
Yeah,
very, very last sentence of the last paragraph in the notice. And it is a notice, and it's a notice to the powers that were. It says, I now gives notice of the event to be experienced by all embodiments of eternal essence, absent borders, dimensions, expectations, subscriptions, judgment, ritual protocols, prejudices, and limits, in absolute gratitude and peace, so it is done. Essentially, the entire planet's been put on notice.
Right.
That the event, which is going to be internal essence.
Okay.
I'll read out the prior sentence. It says, internal essence embodied does guard and protect this space and tool until the event occurs. Now, that's a reference to Heather and the trustees,
okay,
protecting the space until the event occurs. And the event is absolute knowledge known within each embodiment in eternal essence's universe. And it's a really, really interesting sentence, Deborah. And it's one of the ones I wanted to discuss, because what you're, that big button you're referring to is what the trustees are stating here is this event. And this event is, as far as we can determine, internal, and it's a dose of absolute data. It's a connection to the absolute. My personal opinion, and this is my opinion, folks, is that everyone will experience it in whatever manner they're going to experience it. I think you'll get 7 billion different experiences, and they'll all have a commonality to it. It will be incredibly significant and life-changing for everybody. But that's the big button. And the bigger question of when, love to be able to answer that one. But all I can say is that my understanding of this is that it has to be triggered by us, ultimately.
Okay.
It's not going to be triggered by some external event. When we're ready, it will happen. If we want to manifest this, we need to intend it, think about it, build it, then it will happen.
One thing Heather said also, Chris, and this kind of stuck with me, is she said it's one thing to say, you know, I'm eternal essence and let's celebrate. And it's another thing to be in the space where you actually know that to be absolute truth. For everyone to know they, without a shadow of a doubt, that they are eternal essence, that they are a spark of the Creator. That's a big, big, big piece of this event, is that absolute recognition of that truth.
And that only comes through an experience.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of
experiential.
Yeah, but there's going to be a lot of things going on this next week, isn't it?
Yeah, look, and if we want
there's a lot going on.
if we want this event to happen now, then let's just make it happen now. If everybody listening to this call intends it to happen now, that'll speed things up for sure.
I like the illustration that Brian had said that Heather gave to him earlier today, that it's like popping popcorn. You know, at first you hear a couple kernels pop.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden you reach that point where the whole bag just kind of... Well, we're at that point. A couple kernels have already begun to pop.
Okay. Yeah. That's my favorite pastime. In fact, I'm eating some now. But I do appreciate everybody on the panel, and I've been opting a long time ago. Like I said, I get it, but I know that people want to know when it's showtime, I guess. You know, and if
I think it's time whenever you decide showtime. I think it's the
right
time.
Yeah,
you know, it's showtime for each and every one of us whenever we set that intention.
We've all gone through that when, now process. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just natural. Everybody's experienced that. I mean, I'd be a total liar if I said I haven't gone through that myself. But I've gotten to the point where I've gone inside and said, I'm ready for this. I've made that invocation to myself, my higher self, the God in me, that I am ready to go. And when it's time for me to trigger, for me to receive that absolute data, I will receive it by the design of the play that I kind of put forth before even coming here. And so now I'm embodying the space that allows that to occur exactly when it's supposed to. And I hope, and I hold the space that's very, very, very soon, but... all you can really do is hold that space and be ready for it, because I think it's going to catch a lot of us off guard, but it's going to happen exactly when it's supposed to.
Exactly. Faith be the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I'm waiting on it. And again, thank you all so much.
Thank you,
Deborah.
Thanks,
much
Deborah.
Love you.
Yeah.
It's
and
actually
just,
Deborah.
Deborah.
Deborah. Thanks, Deborah. Much love to you.
And just as Deborah's departing, I'll read the first sentence of that last paragraph, which I one of my favorites. Abundance is manifested at the speed of the expansion of our imagination and doing what we imagine. So we're doing this. It's all us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So I just, well, since I had that little personal epiphany while you were talking, Brian, I realize I don't need to keep looking at CMEs and, you know, all these external celestial events. That'll the energy around that now just feels completely irrelevant. It's gone. The energy in terms of how I feel when I think about it being, it's like a bubble within me that's just about ready to burst. I can feel it now. So thank you, because you helped me make that shift. Big thank
you. You know I love you.
Right back at you, baby. Area code 239. Area code 239.
Yes. Everyone.
Hi, what's your name?
Scott.
Sorry? Scott.
Scott, a.k.a., shall I even say, my also known as? I think you know who this is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know.
We do.
Why am I being...
How are
you? You talked to me 3 years ago. You Skype called me Lisa. Thank you. White Knight.
Oh, okay. That's Scott. Right, gotcha. How are you?
How have you been? Great. Just thank you all for... I've been listening to you, you know, since day one. I've been like... But anyway, I just want to... Yeah, I just appreciate all your energy. And it's taken me a while to jump into this thing. Like, you know, I've been, you know, gone through a few other... Quite a few, I think, things that came up. And I shared them all, as you probably know, through my YouTube. And
yep.
Then... That was a dud.
Yep.
Another thing, that was a dud. But the whole point is, I think, my whole thing has been, you know, trying to help people have hope and, like, I think what you all do, and especially Brian, I've heard him actually say it, and that is it's all to do with, you know, the principles of, you know, the way you feel on the inside, you know, inner peace, like inner peace equals outer peace, and you know how we create from the feeling. The feeling is the prayer, basically. So that's all I've tried to promote. I haven't tried to put out disinformation or whatnot. I've put up what I think is right. But anyway, I didn't want to make this about me. I just wanted to, yeah. And congratulations for how far you've come through, Lisa. So I know you said you wanted to work together, but we sort of went off on parallel paths, I think.
Yeah, we did. We went down different.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Done absolutely fantastic. I just went and jumped in, started my own talk show all by myself. But yeah.
I travelled down lots of different paths looking for the answers, looking for, you know, the solution. And
yeah.
I got so far and went, yep, that's not going anywhere. Next.
Yeah.
So we've, you know, a lot of us have been down those rabbit holes, believe me.
Yeah. Yeah,
but thank you for being on board and sharing and, you know, playing with us. It's been great.
But I've got something that'll probably burst all your bubbles right now, which I just can't wait to do, with some information that has just come out. AK actually just shared it this morning, and it sort of relates to what I think Rick was just talking about disclosure. Just what big thing would really make it? I mean, it just happened on Australian TV like 3 days ago.
Yep.
Did you not catch
it? Oh yeah, we did. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, talk about it, but tell the folks what it was. It was really good.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm amazed that no one else has brought this up because, you know, Heather said. Last week, wasn't it, that just, I can't tell you, you know, sort of what's going to come up, but something sort of big, or big things are going to happen in the next couple of weeks. And what's the one big thing that we've all been waiting for years?
Disclosure
that would
with
really,
a capital D.
Yeah, exactly. But it hasn't really been a capital D. I wouldn't say like an official disclosure by government. Of course, but it almost made me, I'll tell you what everyone what it is. It just basically came out on Australian TV 2 or 3 days ago on Sunrise, which that's some sort of morning show, I guess. It's in Sydney or Brisbane or somewhere.
Sydney,
it's
I believe.
It's a Sydney-based morning TV program
Sydney.
That's usually just fluff.
Okay. Yeah, but, I mean, like most mainstream media programs are.
Yes, it's no different to the others, yes.
Yeah, but the important thing is, I think we've all been waiting for, you know, disclosure to happen on mainstream TV. And, like, especially, we know that there's a few dominoes left to fall for disclosure before the official disclosure happens. And, like, so many countries around the world have already sort of disclosed documents and everything, but there's been a few holdouts, you know, like those key countries in the G7, like Australia, Canada, US, and England, UK. And I sort of thought, surmised about a week or a couple of weeks ago that I think Australia is going to be the next to go with some form of, you know, disclosure. And that's what basically just happened.
What actually happened was a gentleman who is ex-US military is coming out to Australia to do a tour, speaking tour, promoting his books and whatever else he's talking about. And he's talking about his experiences of working with ET directly whilst in the military. And this was a promotion segment. They were promoting his tour. They were doing it seriously. Yep. There was no ridicule, which would normally happen on a show like that. It was quite interesting. It was all somewhat...
Pretty serious.
somewhat serious.
Mm-hmm. I killed my ass off when AK sent that to me. I giggled and immediately forwarded to all my military guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of my main sources, he speaks to the Palladians himself regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I saw the interview, I literally giggled my ass off.
Well, did you see the photographs on the show? Were they actual alien photographs?
I think the last one was of the tall white, that lady with the thin white hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that might have been, it looked real. I mean, definitely compared, it looked real. But whether that was a tall white or not, I don't know. But I guess we'll be finding out shortly. It just seems like, you know, it's going to be a very gentle, things are happening slowly. Like, you know, I sort of expected things to happen when I first came out on my first YouTube, like 3 or 4 years ago. But it's been settling.
But it's been growing
a lot slower.
Yeah.
Like, if you've watched over the last couple of months, like the amount of reports coming out in mainstream media, if you just go to YouTube and search UFO sightings 2013, there has been a crap load of mainstream media ones. And right after I reposted AK's one of the Australian video, I get a newspaper clipping sent to me by one of my best friends in Malta. Here's a picture in the newspaper, right in the Maltese Times, of a UFO in the sky over one of the towers. And the picture was taken by a local policeman.
Policeman, I'd do this.
All over the place, just coming out. It's kind of like, it's like the warm-up.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing though, is that anybody that's still at the place where they're looking for quote unquote official disclosure to be made by some big government, G20, G7, G5, G whatever, is waiting for looking at the wrong place from where the data is actually going to come from. You know, cuz absolute data is official disclosure of all things, and it comes from within. It's the disclosure of the galactics. You see, the thing is that it could come out on Anderson Cooper tomorrow, and he could have a blurb about it, and still people will find ways to overlook it and look at it as nonsense or rubbish. So we're to the point now where all that information, all that data is going to come from within. I don't even bother flipping on the news anymore because it's just absolute garbage. It's just phony baloney. So I don't even go there for my media. So that's not where it's going to come from, folks. It's not going to be on the news.
Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you become the disclosure to them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going to be playing catch-ups because I think that the main dose of information is going to come directly to each of us. And the see, the people in the media will go through the same experience. So what you'll all get on the media will just be confirmatory. It won't actually be the disclosure itself.
Yep. In my Chris Australian accent.
I'm giggling as best I can, Brian.
Thank you, Scott, for calling in. We're going to move on and try and get through to the rest of these callers in the time we have left. Thank you. Okay, we have area code 714.
This is Katrina.
Hi, Katrina.
Hello. Hi, Brian. Hi, Lisa. Hi, Bob. Hi, Dee. Hi, all of you. I just big heart hugs. So, last solstice, we read the All is Eternal Essence in Corona Del Mar, and we did it just as you said, Brian, that you were talking about, standing as Eternal Essence embodied. And we actually stated that prior and as we closed. And when we closed, the sky went brilliant pink and shifted, and everybody was in amazement, and then these blazing letters showed in the sky, like not letters you could read. It was so magical. And I want to preface this with the fact that 3 weeks earlier, when you talked about it comes from within, you guys, 3 weeks earlier I was at a gathering, and an energy rose deep within my chest, like the solar plexus at the end of the solar the sternum. And everything I realized, the pitch went up. I'm an energy worker, so I'm familiar with energy waves. The pitch went up, and suddenly I realized everything was glowing with gold from the inside.
See, I want experiences like that.
Well, and it's that kind of thing where experience... Because then after that, a big wave of about 3 days of my stuff kept coming out of my heart. Things that irritated me and things like... I vibrated. Literally, you could put your hand in my chest, and it was vibrating. It felt like an engine was running. It was quite difficult to integrate, but not that. I mean, I don't want to scare you because it wasn't that difficult. I had to put effort into it. The point is that I feel like, and I've done this for the planet many times, that I'll bring energies in and I'll anchor them and I'll integrate them and kind of, you know, bring them to another frequency so they're accessible to everybody. So I think that might have been a precursor to this, and I think that might also be why when we anchored this. But here's another phenomenal thing that has occurred. I work with a group called the Grandmothers. There's a woman in Laguna Beach, Sharon McGurlane, who has been channeling, it's not channeling, but writing these books from a group of international grandmothers that are in the others. They're unseen beings. And they have them us focusing on the net of light. I've worked with the net of light for many decades in my healing arts. And so when I came across her about 5 years ago, I was like, yay, finally other people to play with. And we work with the net of light. There are women and men around the world every night that amplify the net of light from the jewel in our hearts within. And we work it together for healing and peace for everyone. And then we hook up everybody else's heart, even though they may be asleep right now. We've been doing this for years. We had an international gathering this weekend and of about 70, 80 women and a couple of wonderful men. Just before I went to the gathering, I thought, I better read the grandmother's last message. Are you ready for the title of their last message? You are gold. Her whole message, what you are feeling in your body is true, they said, referring to the river of gold flowing through me. The real gold is within you. Pathways of gold underlie everything on earth, connecting life, linking you to what you call God, to one another, and to the earth. Golden strands of the net of light bisect your body and carry light to your organs and energy systems. They go on then later to talk about how to access this net of light. And then Sharon McGurlane actually added her note saying the real gold that humans have been searching for eons is within you, not the stuff you wear on your fingers, hang around your neck, or hoard in bank vaults. So we opened the weekend by doing metaphors of the gold within us, and we actually did a thing with a golden rock, and we put our gifts into it, and then we put all of those rocks together because all of our gifts are what create our reality. And we actually went in the net of light, and she did a wonderful meditation. But we're now bringing the net of light to gold. And this is what became so clear to me, because 2 years ago, I asked the grandmothers to please, please show me how to live my life within the in and out breath of Source. And to live in a village, I couldn't even dare imagine the whole world. I said, at least a community where we all live within the in and out breath with Source and all. That was 2 years ago, and before I went to this, they gave us this, instructing us to live as the gold and how to access that gold through the net of light, that golden net of light will hold you, will feed you, will guide you, and that's it. And so Sharon McErling guided us into meditation, and I got her permission. I'm going to make a YouTube with her guidance on it for us all to access the net of light of gold.
Oh, thank you. Please
beautiful.
Make sure you share that with us when it's up.
I will. And thank you. I could burst into tears. Lisa, hugs, all of you. Ken, you guys feed and fuel me so much. And I spent all weekend, I created a whole new postcard, Brian, a brand new one. I had One Love, One World, One People's Public Trust I've been handing everywhere with all the websites. Now, this weekend it was, you are the gold.
I actually had the pleasure of meeting Katrina at the Encinitas Meditation Gardens, the Self-Realization Fellowship Meditation Gardens. She gave me some of her One People's Public Trust business cards. I gave them all away, though, Katrina. I couldn't help it. I loved them so much. I had to share them.
Well, and I am glad to put the artwork anywhere that if anybody else wants to download it, you know, it's just on, you know, I can PDF it, whatever. If anybody needs anything, everything is all of ours.
Right. You can load it up on the opt-in Facebook page.
Okay, I'll do that. And so, and I'm going to talk, you know, we'll talk more, Brian, about the other stuff that is coming up. But the most important thing that was coming up, because I knew it as a healing artist, I know when I'm working with somebody that has a mortal issue even, you know, some people stage four, that the first thing you have to do is breathe in the center with them where the Source in and out breath is and amplify that so strong and then disintegrate that which is limiting them. And that's what I feel the net of light does.
Cool.
So whenever it speaks to you, I'll share it. I love you all. Blessings.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Katrina,
and
for
talking. We
are
all eternal essence embodied. Woo!
Woohoo!
We are, yeah. <Bye-bye. laughs>
Thanks, Katrina.
Thank you. Good. Okay, we have area code 508.
Area Hi, this is Kathleen.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I just have a quick question. Does anyone have any information about the flash mob for Patrick Cody Morgan?
That would be Brian if he does.
Well, as far as the one that we did about a month ago now, gosh, it seems like eons ago now, I have an update from Patrick Cody Morgan that I got from his sister, Stacey Chapman. She actually might be listening to the call. He's quite the inspiration to some of the other inmates that are behind bars with his story. I mean, he helps other well, let's call them prisoners, but really they're not. A lot of these people that are in there for the wrong reasons. But he's helping them with legal paperwork and filing all sorts of different actions to help them stand up for themselves, since the court-appointed attorneys and those kinds of things don't really get you all that far. But he has very high hopes. He's got a really great attitude. He's connecting with all sorts of people through the postings that were put out on the American Kabuki blog. And we have a feeling that once this energetic event happens, he'll be set free, considering there was no crime that he committed. It was he figured out the system, and they saw him as being a threat, so they locked him up for it. So he deserves to be free. I feel that he'll have his freedom one day in the not-so-far-off future. So that's the update on Patrick Cody Morgan.
It does sound like he's there
for
a very good reason at the moment, then.
Nope. No, not at all. It's kind of...
No, I mean, in what he's doing. I mean, a higher reason.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah, I absolutely believe so. he's got a real, I mean, I've gotten multiple emails from him, and his attitude, it's such an inspiration. I mean, I've shared a lot of his emails on the American Kabuki blog. I mean, for a guy that's been wrongfully imprisoned, he's got just about the best attitude you could ever possibly have, and I know that his days in there are limited. So send love and light and prayers to Patrick Cody Morgan and his family. They're going through a lot right now, but it's definitely for a higher purpose.
Mm. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Okay, area 577. Okay, we'll move on. Area code 630. 630?
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can. What was your name?
Nice. How are you? My name is David.
Right. Sorry, I didn't catch your name. David. Hi, David. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I have a question. Let's say you send a courtesy notice to the people who want to take your car, and what if they try to tow it? What do you say to the guy, to the repo man?
What do you say to the repo man? We have a situation like this long ago, didn't we? And the repo man walked away.
Do you give him the courtesy notice too, or what?
But yeah, in the situation that I'm thinking, the courtesy notice was already sent to whoever the loan was with, and then when the man showed up, he was shown the paperwork and told that he, you know, if he chooses to act, that he will be incurring a courtesy notice and the fee schedule himself. That he then walked away and made phone calls to whoever gave him the job. The person using the courtesy notice also said to them, you should have performed. Now, the people who have hired you to do this job have not kept you in the loop. You've not been informed of the situation you're now in. By coming here to take my car, you're now personally liable if you take any action, and you should have been notified of that. So they did walk away and then came back to stay and left. So the process was sending the courtesy notice to the person or an individual who represents where you got the loan from, and on standby, ready to fill in for someone to show up. No, they should have been informed of the personal liability that they are taking on by coming in and to repossess your car, and just educate them.
You're breaking up,
Lisa. So they have an obligation to show you to prove that there is in fact a debt, and if they can't do so, then they have no authority over you. And in order to be able to prove that there is a debt, they have to be able to show that there was in fact a loan, and that there was actually money that was loaned to a third party, or i.e. your car company, and they will not be able to do that. So you stand your ground, you ask for that burden of proof, they're not going to be able to provide it for you, and then you get their name and you fill out a courtesy notice and you say, I'm now giving you this document, I'm serving you with this document, the instructions on how to respond are in there, but you are now liable, and now this is my contract directly with you. And do it with all the respect, and it's called a courtesy notice because you got to give it with courtesy. Don't start a battle. It's not going to get you anywhere. Don't fight fire with fire. You got to defend yourself with your rights and go that route and then see what happens.
Yeah, that makes sense. And one more question. Let's say there's a foreclosed house, you know, and since the bank is foreclosed, like, can't you just go inside and live in it? Or who owns the house, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. And one of the things I want to address with Heather once she's actually got some time and she's been finished with some of these recent filings is what's a good way of going about addressing all of these foreclosed properties? because there's a lot of them out there, and there's a lot of people without a home. So I don't have the answer yet, but it is something I want to focus on working over the next few weeks.
I got a quote that I want to read. Sir, did you have any more questions? I know we're kind of pushed on time, and I want to read something that I think that will help some people.
No, that's
going.
Yeah, you, going.
Let me just read this real quick. All right, thanks for calling, man. I really appreciate it. Any suffering you are going through is happening to stimulate your own evolution and give you the lessons necessary to be where you need to be. Believe this and accept what is for what it is. It will only burden you so long as it is useful to your development. That rang true for me when I heard it.
Today, where's it from?
Spirit Science and Metaphysics on Facebook. I'll type it into the chat.
Words of wisdom from Spirit Science.
So Lisa's breaking
Thanks
up.
For yeah, what the hell's going on? Area code 917. Hello.
Okay, have we lost Lisa?
Maybe we did.
I hear you.
I think.
Hello.
Oh, there she is.
Can you hear me?
There she is. We can hear you now.
Well. Okay, everyone said. This whole program has been sketchy with the audio.
Yep, it seems to be focused on you, Lisa.
Oh, those have all been cracking up me too, so it is me.
Okay. Okay. No, I think we're losing Lisa. And we've lost Brian. Bob, do you want to take it up? We may have lost Bob too.
I'm sorry, I was muted.
That's okay.
I'm here too. I wouldn't abandon you.
Yes, you wouldn't abandon me. Absolutely. So I think, Lisa, can you hear us at all? She says, Bob, take over, bring out 917.
Yes, okay. Area code 917, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody there. How
Nobody
about
there.
Area code 320?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Your name,
Hi,
please?
My name is Chase.
Hi, Chase.
I love this. The most recent document, the I and the universal value exchange.
Yeah.
And it just, like, it really just brings it back to all my studies of Bashar and law of attraction, and even Abraham Hicks, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
All great information coming from those points, yeah.
Yeah.
And then what I wanted to share was my intuition about this, which was connected by the mentions of Sheldon Neidel and the Galactic Federation, and how he actually acknowledged OPPC as a crucial part of this the transition and the awakening. My intuition on it is that if we're going to include the Earth in the galactic interplanetary society, we're going to need to know ourselves and to know where the value comes from. And this universal value exchange is key to that.
We're coming up to the last few seconds, Chase. So
okay.
If you want to sum up real quick. Hello?
That's all I wanted to share was that
You know,
I believe you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, in order for us to actually play the universal game, we've got to know who we are. We're coming down to the last few moments of the show, so I'll just pull around real quick and let everybody say their goodbyes again. Thank you for calling, Chase, and everybody for tuning in. And everybody want to say their goodbyes? Brian, Dee.
I'm going to say goodbye on Lisa's behalf. Lisa says goodbye to everyone.
First of all,
goodbye to everyone, too.
I hate goodbyes.
We've got 10 seconds.
Okay, it's goodbye from me, folks. We're on the bridge. We're on our way.
Thank you for everybody. And enjoy your evening, day, the rest of the day. Tune in next week.
Tomorrow.
Collective imagination.
Yes, collective imagination. 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And somebody from Australia will have to give the Australia time. I don't know what time that is.
11 a.m. Eastern.
There you are.
Here I am. Oh, you hear me?
Yes.
I was talking about...
Say goodbye, Lisa.
Goodbye, Lisa.
Smart ass.
All right. Good night, everyone.
See you tomorrow.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay.